So, as I was saying, before I was so rudely interrupted around the end of August, let's see, where was I? Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to the program. My name is Mike Malloy, coming to you on the brand spanking shiny new Nova M Radio Network. Welcome to the program. Where was I back in August, Kathy? Oh, yeah, Katrina. The Forgotten Victims of Katrina and Rumsfeldt telling the American Legion that war critics hate America and the media is treasonous. And the idea of a free press is an old idea out of touch with current reality. My, 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 things never change, do they? Here we are 2 months later, and the same crap, the same garbage is being spewed by these people. Now, on tonight's program, just in time for Halloween, we are going to be visited by two of the creepiest ghouls in U.S. politics today. That would be Rumsfeld, or as he is affectionately known around here, Rumsfeldt, and Lynn Cheney. What a bitch. I mean, absolutely, capital B bitch. The little confrontation she had with Wolf Blitzer, I've never seen Wolf, the former U-boat commander, looks so nonplussed in all the going way back. I remember I was working at CNN when Wolf auditioned, and I have never seen him look so freaked. There sits what could have been the bitch of Buchenwald staring at him, telling him, "Where did you get the tape? Why are you showing pictures like this? Who do you think you are, Wolf Blitzer?" Anyway. Last Thursday, Rumsfeldt slouched to the podium in the Defense Department press room and scared the bejesus out of every soul present by repeatedly pounding the podium with what turned out to be the severed head of the suspected number 8 man in Al-Qaeda. It was sent to him in a box, FedEx. There it was. Thump, 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 thump. When we play the sound for you tonight, you'll hear it. Now, while he was thumping this head, he was warning reporters to back off! Back off! This is loaded! Back off their news reporting about Iraq. So we'll have some clips from that conference last Thursday, and you decide if this guy is really, really about 9 aspirins short of a bottle here. Jesus, this guy is dangerous. And then last Friday, the Empress of Evil, Lynn Cheney, whose partner in crime, Joe Lieberman. You know, Cheney and Lieberman put together something to weed out politically incorrect professors in the nation's universities. Cheney and Lieberman put something together to weed out politically incorrect literature in universities. You know, literature written by women or minorities or, oh, never mind, to hell with all that. Anyway, Lynn Cheney picked up where Rumskull left off when she slithered into the onto the Situation Room set with Wolf Blitzer and defended her psychopathic husband's support of torture and waterboarding and murder and death of innocent Iraqi citizens. Then she took her I couldn't believe this. And why was she wearing a prayer shawl around her shoulder? She's not Muslim. She's not Jewish. And I don't think Catholics do that yet. Why? You know, what's up with the prayer shawl? But there she sat. And then she shook her bony finger at Wolf and hissed a warning that they better be careful. Wolf, you better be careful how you report news stories from Iraq. Or apparently her minions, the flying monkeys, will fly over to CNN's Baghdad bureau and harvest the reporter's organs for Dick Cheney's voodoo rejuvenation brew. I want a kidney. Get me a kidney. Lynn, I want you to go into Wolf Blitzer's studio and get me a kidney.
Seriously, defending torture, justifying massive death and destruction, and threatening news organizations for, you know, reporting the news as half-assed as CNN does it. At least they make an effort. Sometimes. Well, okay, maybe 10% of the time. So there was Lynn Cheney. See, this is what the right wing does, though.
You know, you can be Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room in CNN and just suck up to these murderers until your mouth looks like you've been eating lemons, and that's not good enough. Let just one little thing happen, and all of a sudden, what's up, Wolf? You work for Al-Qaeda? What, is CNN a branch of Al Jazeera now? Huh, Wolf, huh? You know, I can't wait. These Republican members of Congress are constantly getting caught with very tender part of their anatomy caught in their zippers. And I can't wait until Rumsfeld and Liz Cheney are caught hanging out at some strip club in D.C. admiring the ladies, as they both like to do on occasion, although Liz Cheney writes about it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And they'll be sitting there sharing a cup of pig's blood, and they'll get too close to the footlights, and their plasticine masks will start to melt, revealing the lizard scales underneath. Yes, it's Halloween, but these people are like this all the time. So, all this and much more on this, our launch program. Are we still on the air? On Nova M Radio. By the way, the number here, write this down. It's not the number we had at Air America. It's a brand new number on this brand new network. The number is 800-989-1480. The 1480 corresponds with our Phoenix affiliate's position on the AM dial in that lovely city. KPHX is the station that from which we will be syndicating this program. Now, we're not there. Kathy and I are in the bunker. We're really in the bunker now. Air America held the lease on the place where we were broadcasting. From where? No, that's not right. They held the lease where we were broadcasting before. And, of course, in case you haven't heard, I separated from Air America. And what we're doing now, we're broadcasting literally from the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains. We feed the program to KPHX. Look, the technical stuff is over here in just a second. I just want to tell you this, all right? So the number here is 800-989-1480, which is KPHX's position on the AM dial in Phoenix, all right? You can still email me, mike@mikemalloy.com, and you can listen live at novamradio.com/stream.htm. All right. Do I have anything else I have to say here? No? All right. Oh, my God. I'm just going to cram this into the 45 seconds before this break coming, and that is to thank everyone who resisted our departure from Air America. I'll probably write about it. I'm not going to talk about it on the air because it's boring as hell. It's one man who lost one job. It happens all the time. It's more noticeable when it happens in radio because it's so public. But trust me on this. There are thousands, tens of thousands of workers in this country who lose their jobs every day. My losing that job was nothing but one more worker. That's what I am, losing his job. And now I got another one. So, but I just want to say thank you to the almost 20,000 people who signed that petition. Okay, it was a little over 18,000 who signed that online petition. The emails that went to Air America, just busting their asses for what they did. Thank you to the people who sent Kathy and me emails of support. Thank you. The past 2 months have been a little bit weird. But it was what you guys and gals wrote that got us through it. So again, it's one man losing one job, and here in Atlanta they're closing a Ford plant where I think 3,000 workers are going to be out of work in a week. So anyway, thank you for the support. That's all I want to say about it now. Let's take a break. We'll come back. This is Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy.
All you need is love. Everybody. All you need is love. Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. All right, just a couple of items in this next short segment, and then at the bottom of the hour, you've got to hear the sound we have for you from Rumsfeld and Lynn Cheney. Some of the more astute web crawlers have probably already heard this, but we're going to play it for you again. Somebody sent me this. This is from the 3rd of April, 2002. The 3rd of April, 2002, and it was in the UK press. This has to do with Korea and their nuclear explosion the other day, if that's what it was. I think there's some debate. When you have an organization controlled by the neocons in the Bush administration declaring, oh, yeah, we tested the atmosphere and it was a nuclear explosion, I immediately put one hand on my wallet and wait for the punchline. So as far as I'm concerned, there's some doubt what Kim Il-Crazy really tested. But let's just for the sake of argument, let's call it a small nuclear weapon. This is from April 3rd, 2002. The U.S. government, that would be the Bush crime family, has announced that it will release $95 million to North Korea as part of an agreement to replace the Stalinist country's own nuclear program, which the U.S. suspected was being misused. Under the 1994 agreed framework, that was Clinton's agreed framework, an international consortium is building two proliferation-proof nuclear reactors and providing fuel oil for North Korea while the reactors are being built. In releasing this $95 million to Kim Il-Crazy, U.S. President George W. Bush waived the framework's requirement that North Korea allow inspectors to ensure it has not hidden away any weapons-grade plutonium from the original reactors. Bush argued that his decision was, quote, vital to the national security interests of the United States, end quote. Now, it goes on, and the article here is, it's more unnerving the further you get into the article. But let's make one thing clear. This psychopathic jackass in the White House, who is bitching and moaning about the axis of evil, on April 3rd, 2002, announced that it would release $95 million to North Korea, which they could use to build their nuclear reactors, and that George W. Bush decided to waive the Clinton administration's requirement that North Korea allow inspectors to make sure that nothing was being hidden. Bush said, no, that's okay. Here's some money. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. Here it is. And yet Bush and the other psychopaths in this Republican administration and the people on right-wing talk radio, whose fault? It's Clinton's fault. It's Hillary's fault. It's your mama's fault. It's Auntie Claire's fault. It's anybody's fault but the Bush crime family. Always, always, it's anyone's fault but the Bush crime family. Well, here's $95 million that Bush stole from someplace and handed off to Kim Il-Crazy. And when he handed it off, he said, oh, by the way, Kim, or Crazy. Do I call you Mr. Crazy? What do I call you? I call you Kim? Okay. Oh, your last name comes first? What? What's that about? I don't know that. In handing it off to Kim Il-Crazy, he said, by the way, you don't have to, I'm going to cancel this requirement that you allow inspectors in. Now, I've maintained for a long time that it's a toss-up as to who is more psychopathic, who is the bigger sociopath, Kim Il-Crazy or a George Cocaine Bush. I honest to God, which one of these two is more psychopathic? And that was, what, 4 years ago? And what do they talk about now? Oh, yeah, well the North Koreans, you know, they're building nuclear. Oh, my God. So if Kim Il-Crazy did set off a nuclear weapon a couple of weeks ago, when he says he did, and his, did you see the newscast from Pyongyang? Did you see the woman news reader sitting there? I don't know. She looked like she was in the throes of some sort of sexual excitation as she read in Korean. Yeah, I'm being a sexist bastard. So what, you don't like it? Switch stations. She sat there looking like she was in some throes of sexual excitation as she read that the dear leader, is it the dear leader? Is that Kim Il? Kim Il-Crazy? The dear leader had announced that North Korea had set off nuclear weapon. Oh my God. We're going to pause for weather. You know, just, I'm sorry. I love North Koreans, okay? I think North Koreans are great. I have no axe to grind with North Koreans. I wish we could all live peacefully and happily around a big campfire. But when you have a president of the United States who says to the North Koreans, no, go ahead, make your nuclear bombs. Go here. You need some money? What, you need a loan? All right, how about $95 million? Will that do? You can buy all the stuff you need from our friends in Pakistan. They're selling it all on the black market. Here's $95 million. Check with me later if you need some more, all right?
I think a useful tool of foreign policy for our country is try to let the sun shine in.
What?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
It's about 26 before the hour. You're listening to Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. One other thing I want to mention regarding our two-month-long absence. A friend of mine, Bob Kincaid, who runs the Head On Radio Network, H-O-R-N, spells horn, doesn't it? Bob Kincaid, I think every night that we were gone, he and Ben Birch ran old copies or copies of old shows that we had done over the years, and I've got to say to Ben Birch and Bob Kincaid and the people involved who did that, thank you very much. That was just absolutely unbelievable to me that that somebody would go ahead and do that. But and I also know at Democratic Underground, every night when they would run these old tapes, well, they're not really tapes, you know what I mean, but the old shows, the digitized old programs, there would be a thread there for the Malloy program, as there is every night that we're on the air. There's a thread at Democratic Underground. I'm going to have to check it out here in a minute. But it was kind of weird, because during that two-month hiatus, we would go to that website, to Democratic Underground, Kathy and I, and look at the comments, and then we would switch over to Head On Radio Network and listen a little bit to some of these old tapes until I couldn't take it anymore. You know, listening to yourself. Does that happen to you? You listen to yourself, you go, oh, my God, let me out of here. But anyway, thanks to Bob and Ben Birch for that. That was way, way beyond the call of duty. Thanks, guys. The other thing here about North Korea and its nukes, Craig in Boone, North Carolina, emails in that, and he reminds me of this. We talked about this a couple of years ago. Rumsfeld was with the company ABB Corporation, which I believe was based in France. And that corporation, Rumsfeld was the director of that corporation. They sold North Korea nuclear materials for nuclear plants. And Rumsfeld and the company he worked for made millions of dollars. So every time I hear, oops, a gremlin, every time I hear any of these thugs in the Bush crime family bitch and whine about North Korea's nukes. I think, well, but this crazy megalomaniac who runs North Korea got them from you. Just like Saddam Hussein got whatever weapons he had back in the 80s from Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld is a real Dr. Death. He's almost as bad as Negroponte. And where we came up with these sick, murderous old white men who travel around the world making sure that millions of people who aren't quite white and people who are of other races slaughter and murder each other. Where did we get them? What elevator out of hell brought people like Negroponte and Cheney and Rumsfeld to the surface of the earth? Does anyone know? If the United States military does not lose a soldier tomorrow in Iraq, the death toll for the month of October is 101. I can't get my mind around that. Can you? Can you? NBC television tonight profiled three or four or five of these soldiers very quickly. And you know my position about children that are hurting, whether they're Palestinian or Israeli or Iraqi or from Darfur or this country or the Mississippi Gulf Coast. There's something horrific about the innocence of childhood being smashed and slaughtered and stomped on by people. But there on NBC News tonight, they had scenes from several graveside services of dead U.S. servicemen. And the kids, the little black kids, the little white kids, the little Latino kids who couldn't figure out why their father was dead. It's just it's an outrage beyond belief what is going on. And then Rumsfeld, the sick old bastard right out of the pits of hell. Let's play this. All right, Kathy. This is from last Thursday. Last Thursday. You know, I try to inject dark, sick humor into this, but how in the hell do you do it when you're dealing with someone as evil as this son of a bitch? How do you inject humor into Don Rumsfeld? Oh, I can call him Rumsferatu and say he reanimates in time for Halloween to warn the Department of Defense reporters to back off! Or he'll spray them with zombie dust from the poison tip of his laser pointer. But it's his policies that are resulting in 6 and 7, 8 and 10-year-olds in this country sitting with their moms and their grandparents beside an open grave, watching their father being buried. Reporters at last Thursday's Department of Defense briefing tried to find some clarity on Bush's new Iraq strategy, since, you know, stay the course no longer applies. They never said stay the course. The new plan involves some kind of nebulous benchmark system. Benchmark system. How many? That's how many dead, right? Is Tony Snow going to get out here tomorrow and say 101 dead in October? That's just a number. This new plan involves some kind of nebulous benchmark system that details when Iraqi troops can take over and U.S. troops can come home. So a reporter says to Rumsfeld, "Mr. Rumsfeld, what I don't understand about the benchmark plan, if we call it that, is what happens if and when the Iraqi government fails to meet the timelines, the projections, whatever you want to call them, for some of the major benchmarks. We've been told by the president in recent days that U.S. patience is not unlimited, but there are no timelines. So I don't understand. There must be consequences, Mr. Secretary, or responses built into this plan. Can you address that at all?" Listen to this answer.
"It's a political season, and everyone's trying to make a little mischief out of this and make turn it into a political football and see if we can't get it on the front page of every newspaper and find a little daylight between what the Iraqis say or someone in the United States says or somebody else in the United States says. And, I mean, it is not complicated. You're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down some date isn't met. Is not what this is about. This is complicated stuff. It's difficult.
What?
We're looking out in the future. No one can predict the future with absolute certainty. So you ought to just back off, take a look at it, relax, understand that it's complicated, it's difficult, that honorable people are working on these things together.
There's not an honorable person within a 1,000 miles of the Bush crime family. Now, he says it's not complicated. And then he says this is complicated stuff. In the space of two sentences, this sick old man, this murderous old white man who must drink blood every night in order to stay alive, this murderous old bastard, in the space of two sentences, says it's not complicated. You're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down if some date isn't met. Oh, God, Rumsfeld, you don't know how true that is. Oh, you don't know how true that is. And then he says, but this is complicated stuff. So he talks about guillotines and peering into the future and blaming the Democrats for Bush's flip-flopping. Flip-flopping. Don't you love that term? So Rumskull reaches for yet another severed limb to pummel the podium and ups the creep factor by yelling at reporters who dare to express their skepticism that Iraqi troops are able to defend Iraq. A visibly shaken reporter followed up the benchmark question by asking, sir, but given the record, can you blame us for the tone, expressing some skepticism? Because every time a benchmark has been laid down in terms of security forces and the like, the Iraqis have been unable to meet them.
That is false. Every time a security benchmark has been laid down, the Iraqis have failed to meet it. Wrong.
Oh, God.
Just isn't true. And it would be a shame if people walked out thinking it. Just a minute. Now, why do I say it's wrong? Well, first of all, it has the benefit of being true that it's wrong.
Oh, Jesus.
The Iraqi Security Force training program that we have laid out has been proceeding in a orderly, reasonable way.
What?
When we said that they would handle the bulk of the security for the last election, they did.
What?
To say that every security, I mean, there's people ranting like that up on the Hill, but that is just wrong to say that. It isn't even close to being true.
Oh, my God. There's people ranting like that up on the Hill. Yeah, you old murderous white bastard, and they're all Republicans. No, things are fantastic in Iraq, right, Mr. Death? No dead or maimed troops this month. No sectarian violence. It's a veritable wonderland, right? The Iraqi troops are perfectly capable of defending their nation. That's why, against whom? That's why the U.S. is building a $350 million embassy and establishing permanent military bases there. Forget that crazy, complicated, not complicated, stay the course, benchmark, deadline, nonsense. Looky here, reporters. I got a shiny pocket watch. You're getting sleepy. Watch it. Boom. Look at this. Hey, look here. Ah, you like this? Complicated, not complicated. Complicated, not complicated. Complicated, not complicated. Complicated. Not complicated. Complicated. Not complicated.
The bravery of being out of range. Yeah, the question is best. Oh man, what the hell are you gonna kill next? Oh Tyler, who you gonna kill next?
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
It's about 10 before the hour. We have one more Rumsfeld quote here from the DOD briefing last Thursday. I honestly don't know how any spokesperson, man or woman, for the Bush crime family can stand in front of the representatives of the American people, which in these press briefings are the reporters there, actually stand there and talk when they are drenched in blood, What is this report that we saw from the Lancet that 650,000 Iraqis have died because of the U.S. invasion? Now, I'm not talking about people that the U.S. military has killed. I'm talking about all the deaths that have been caused there because of the civil war and our troops. Let's face it. How many people died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki total? 300,000? So what have we done now? We have murdered. We are responsible for the murder of twice as many people in Iraq as died in on the Japanese mainland when we dropped two nuclear bombs on them in 1945. Jesus God, does anybody care about this? That kind of death is how are we, you and me, and our kids and our grandchildren, how are we ever going to cleanse ourselves of what this Bush crime family has done? Now, I know the same question was asked after Vietnam. 58,000 Americans died, and Vietnam has become one of the United States' major trading partners. Jesus God, every single name on that wall at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., has been reduced to what? And here we are again. At this point, near the end of the briefing, Rumsfeld is running about a quart low on human blood, and he just stops trying to defend this new flip-flop policy and strings together some totally incoherent phrases disguised as logic. And then he tells the reporter he's wrong. Here's the last weary reporter asking about the benchmark policy. He says, and he gets cut off here, "The Iraqi troops, Mr. Secretary, have not met the benchmark of the ability to stand up and take control. It was evidenced here. General Casey said as much in the fight to retake Baghdad, that when the U.S. military called on the Iraqi military to provide forces to assist in that operation, they provided only a small fraction of what is needed."
Wait a second. There are many times. There are some times. There are some times where they took over something, didn't work, and people had to go back in and help them, no question, and take it back. I've said that from the beginning. That's part of this process. It is not a smooth road. It's a bumpy road.
Lots of corpses.
Look at it this way. Have there been instances, many instances, when the Iraqi security forces have been able to do precisely what was intended and what was predicted? Answer, yes.
When?
Have there been instances where they were not able to do what was predicted and hoped for or intended? Answer, yes.
Always.
That means your question, your statement, your assertion is flat wrong.
No, it doesn't, you blood-sucking vampire. That means that this reporter, like the majority of us in this country, you sick old man, we don't speak lunatic, and therefore we don't understand a damn thing you just said. You slathering killer, there's no logic there, just contradictory statements. The wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. Either that, or he's been burning the midnight oil, maybe rereading Orwell way past the time the clocks struck 13 at Castle Rumsfeld. How old is Rumsfeld? Mid-70s? Hi, Kathy.
I believe he's 4,972, give or take a week.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. He started to, wait a second. I thought he was going to start sounding like me. But you see, I have a strong heart. I have a heart made out of steel. Rumsfeld's heart is this soft, leathery, oversized pouch that's just waiting for the wrong electrical impulse to go shooting down there out of his brain when he's got some smart-ass reporter, and it'll go zzz, pew! What a thing to see. some right winger in Phoenix is listening tonight going, oh, wait, is Mike talking about, is that a threat on the Secretary of Defense? Oh, damn, Marge, let's report him. You sick sucker. So if no one dies tomorrow, the 31st, none of our soldiers or Marines in Iraq, the death toll for the month of October is 101. For what? I we're going to take some calls next hour, and I'm begging to you right-wing rats out there, you Republican rats, tell me how these deaths should be seen by the families that provided the sons and husbands and fathers and wives and daughters, huh? One of you Republican rats want to call in and justify it for me? Yeah, never mind. Now, the other ghoul, the ghostest with the mostest, Lon Chaney, when we come back. Bless your phone calls. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. You're listening to Nova M Radio and KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Mike Malloy. All right, as promised, we just have a couple of cuts here from Joe Lieberman's partner in crime and suppression of all sorts of freedoms for other people, not for them. Lynn Cheney is very, very strange woman. I mean, it goes without saying. Can you imagine being married to Dick Cheney? No wonder she writes, porno novels. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Well, there's a difference, I guess, between pornography and eroticism. And I don't think Lynn Cheney understands the difference. Not that I give a damn. But she was, last Friday, she worked her way into Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room. Situation Room. Jesus, God. It's a set. CNN. She worked her way into Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room last Friday to ostensibly to discuss her new children's book. What kind of Lynn Cheney writes a children's book? I guess it doesn't include scenes of rape and brothels and lesbian sex and the vice president screwing someone other than his wife and keeling over dead. No, I wouldn't think. Those are scenes from her other books. That's right. So Blitzer asked Lynn about her husband's recent statements in defense of torturing innocent political prisoners. Now remember, allegedly she's here to talk about a children's book. I'll tell you what, I would gouge my daughter's eyes out before I'd let her read a book written by Lynn Cheney. Well, that's a little strong. Okay, I wouldn't do that. I would just send her to some other country. I don't know. The idea that Lynn Cheney would write something for children. Molly, stay away, stay away. Molly, don't pick it up! Gouge my daughter's eyes out? So Wolf Blitzer says to Lon Chaney, I want to pick your brain a little bit on news that's happening right now, Mrs. Cheney. Your husband, the vice president, like she doesn't know that, you ass. Your husband, the vice president, was interviewed earlier this week out of North Dakota, and he made it sound that he was, in effect, confirming that the United States used this waterboarding, this torture technique that has been rejected by the international community that simulates a prisoner being drowned. And there have been some cases where innocent people have been picked up, interrogated, maybe tortured, held for long periods of time, then simply said, never mind, let go, and they're let go.
Well, are you sure these people are innocent?
Well, they're walking around free right now, and nobody's arrested them.
You made a point last night of a man who had a bookstore in London where radical Islamists gathered, who was in Afghanistan when the Taliban were there, who went to Pakistan. I think that you might be a little careful before you declare this as a person with clean hands.
You're referring to the CNN Broken Government special. This was the one that John King reported
right there,
on last night.
Right there, Wolf. Broken government. Now, what kind of stance is that?
Oh, how about a realistic stance, you nutball? Wolf better make sure he gets out of this interview quick before Lynn has him disappeared and hubby Dick ends up with a new kidney or heart valve, courtesy of Wolf Blitza. Eh? This question, can you just cue up that first question again? Where Blitzer and aren't the chickens coming home to roost on this sucker, right? Huh? Isn't, you know, Blitzer, who has been nothing but a willing accomplice for the Bush crime family, every single day that I've ever watched Blitzer, he is doing for the Bush administration what Monica did for Bill Clinton, over and over and over again. But that's not enough for Lynn and Dick Cheney. That's not enough. We want your blood. We want your guts. We want your life. How dare you suggest my dick likes torture? So Blitzer just points out what the rest of the world knows, that people never charged with anything, swept up, sucked into the American gulag, tortured, beaten, shocked, God knows what, and then released. And Blitzer questions her about that, and what does she say?
Well, are you sure these people are innocent?
Oh, my God. That's how it operates in Cheney land. Innocent. Are you sure? Guilty until proven guilty. Guilty until proven guilty. And damn your habeas corpus. Habeas corpus. That sounds like something Dick and I eat every night for dinner. So Lynn Cheney continues to accuse CNN of blasphemy and treason by actually reporting the news. Then she demands to know, where did you get your war footage? Where did you get the tape? With very little respect to this Empress of Darkness, because Satan only knows what hideous and unholy processes she must undergo to get Dick ready to climb into his box of sacred dirt each night. But if anything, CNN's special Broken Government didn't go far enough.
What is CNN doing? Running terrorist tape of terrorists shooting Americans. I mean, why are you running terrorist propaganda?
With all due respect, this is not terrorist propaganda.
This is
reporting the news, which is what we do. We're not partisan.
Where did you get the film?
We got the film. Look, we make no apologies for showing that. That was a very carefully considered decision, why we did that. I think it's shocking.
I think it's shocking. You evil old bitch, you. You evil, blood-sucking psycho. You think showing the tape of snipers trying to get the invader out of their country. We're the invader, Lynn. We have invaded another. What would you do, Lynn, if the Saudis attacked this country again? Only this time sent troops into D.C. and surrounded your half-dead husband's house. What would you do? Would you fight, Lynn, or would you just roll over and say, okay, here we are? What would you do? Wouldn't you try to kill the invader? Wouldn't you, Lynn? No. No, you wouldn't. You'd try to cut a deal, wouldn't you? Where did you get the film? Where did you get the film? To quote Bush, you soulless harridan, who cares what you think? Who cares what you think? You think it's shocking? Blitzer is putting his cojones on the line literally to defend CNN's right to air 1/10,000th of the lies of the Bush crime family and attempts to utterly destroy the Constitution in the process? No, crawl back to your undisclosed location, you ugly old freak. Bang out some more of your sapphic prose while disowning your own daughter's sexuality. There's a family with issues. Oh, my God! A couple of years ago, Stephen Talbot, writing at Salon, you talk about life imitating art, he wrote about Lynn Cheney's long-lost novel, The Body Politic. It came out in paperback edition after the election, just in time for Christmas shoppers, right? Advertised as, quote, a revealing look at what it might be like to be the Vice President of the United States. That's what it said. Now, in this book, The Body Politic, Lynn's fictional vice president is a 59-year-old Republican who dies in office of a heart attack. And, of course, the way he dies in office of a heart attack is he's banging someone other than his wife, sort of like Nelson Rockefeller. That's how Nelson Rockefeller died. It's anyone who reviewed the book said The Body Politic is poorly written, allegedly comic satire about life in a Republican White House. And this, I just want to share a little bit more of this with you, okay? And then I think we're going to move on to some phone calls. But you know, when some evil anti-life pro-death freak like Lynn Cheney walks into the CNN Situation Room and starts giving Wolf Blitzer the third degree, do you have any doubts about what sort of a country you now live in?
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
It's about 21 past the hour. Okay, just a little bit more here, and then we're going to come to your calls. This is about Lynn Cheney, and this was written by Stephen Talbot at Salon.com Books. A couple of years ago, about her book, the long-lost novel, The Body Politic. And it came out in paperback edition as soon as her murderous, sick husband stole the election. Well, they hadn't stolen it officially on November 28th, 2000. That didn't happen until December 12th. It says in 1988, when her novel was originally published, Dick Cheney suffered his third heart attack and underwent a quadruple bypass surgery. 12 years later, the novel reappears and Cheney's heart fails again. If he were a superstitious man, he might think his wife's book is cursed. Or maybe she is. There's something else in Mrs. Cheney's book that might give Mr. Cheney pause. When the fictional vice president dies, his scheming, ambitious wife participates in a White House cover-up of his death and manages to succeed her late husband as the country's first female vice president. Lady Macbeth! Out, damn spot! Now, remember, this is all supposed to be funny, right? And Lynn Cheney, as I said, she was Joe Lieberman's partner in crime, but she was also, she was Ronald Reagan's chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Yeah, back in the bad old days. National Endowment for the Humanities, Lynn Cheney. And also, she was one of the co-hosts of CNN Crossfire Sunday. Can you believe that? So there she is sitting in Jesus, God, Kathy, she and I used to work for the same company. CNN Crossfire Sunday was terminated in 1998, but she's a former CNN program host. Now, there's problems here with his family. Asked by ABC's Cokie Roberts about her daughter's public declaration of homosexuality, her daughter, Mary, came out herself. My God, Coors Brewery hired her because Coors was anti-gay, anti-black, anti-Latino. All Coors wanted was give us the money. So ABC's Cokie Roberts, way back in the day, asked about her daughter's public declaration of homosexuality, and Lynn Cheney promptly denied it, asserting that Mary has never declared such a thing. Now, that was a surprise to her daughter's friends and co-workers at Coors Brewing in Colorado, where Mary Cheney worked with a gay and lesbian task force to overcome a longstanding gay boycott of Coors. It turns out that when she wasn't rooting out political correctness at the National Endowment for the Humanities, Lynn Cheney was writing novels that were steamy, racy, and politically embarrassing. Elaine Showalter, an English professor at Princeton, unearthed one of the books. It was titled Sisters. It was written in 1981, which had only been published in Canada. Lo and behold, Sisters was a gothic female historical novel featuring an account of frontier women in Cheney's home state, Wyoming, who shared an unmistakable, quote, lesbian ardor, end quote. In one passage, the female heroine watches two women in an intimate embrace, and as Lynn Cheney writes, she felt curiously moved, curiously envious of them. Now, that's not exactly the sentiments that you might expect from an associate with a Christian Coalition, Lynn Cheney, right? These people, just like it was revealed a couple of weeks ago, that the entire Bush crime family would laugh about the these punk-ass Christian leaders and laugh at, that of course they should be laughed at. People like Dobson and Falwell and Robertson and... who's this guy? There's a whole new clutch of them now, the ones that run these mega churches. We have one here in Atlanta called Creflo Dollar. That's his name. He has about 30,000 people, members of his church, and he drives 2 or 3 or 6 or 12 Bentleys, and he's doing Jesus' work. Oh, my God, are these people going to roast? If there were a hell, they would just roast and roast and roast. But here's Lynn Cheney, who, you know, like most of the people in the Bush crime family, talk about homosexuality as being something unstable, something evil, something that's going to destroy the fabric of America. But for some reason, it certainly appeals to Lynn. I don't know. Now, The Body Politic, that book describes a Republican vice president who dies blissfully at age 59 in carnal arrest. Carnal arrest. He succumbs while he's having sex with a glamorous network television correspondent in his private townhouse. And Lynn Cheney writes, cardiac arrest during sex leaves a beatific smile on the vice president's face. Oh, my God. It goes on here. If you want some more of this, just go to salon.com/books. And Stephen Talbot wrote this. It's a great book review combination. It's not really a book review. It's a critique of this crazy old coot. God. All right. When we come back after this break, we're going to take some phone calls. So put your seatbelts on, all right? The number here is 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio Network. Footsteps echo down the hall. No one's there at all.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy. wanted to be a part of the future, a guy like me.
26 before the hour. Are we going to have a Halloween show tomorrow night? We are?
Will that depend?
Say it again.
I said, well, that sort of depends on whether or not I can reconstruct all of my bumper music that was eaten by our new studio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had Kathy had a major meltdown.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
Well, we will. Tomorrow night is Halloween. And you know, the weird thing is to a certain number of my friends, it's a fun night, but it's also has religious significance. I'm talking about my Wiccan friends. If we weren't going to be here, we could go to a convocation of folks and get naked and dance around the fire, right?
Yeah, we talk about Lynn and Dick's kids have issues. Hi, Molly. Here's Mommy and Daddy naked dancing around a fire.
No. Well, we wouldn't take
Celtic markings.
We wouldn't take her. I mean, she, you know.
That's better. Mommy and Daddy are going to go dance naked around a fire. You stay here with Grandma and eat candy.
No, you don't tell a two-year-old you're going to do it. You just let her discover the joy of dancing naked up in the mountains. See, I've done that. I did that one time, and you know I did.
I'm shocked you remember it from all the mushrooms. Well, no,
there were no mushrooms that night. This was a convention of about 80 witches from around the United States, and I was doing a piece for Esquire magazine, believe it or not, that never got published, and there's a reason it never got published. But it was a long weekend, and I wound up the first night, the very first night. I think I've talked about this before on this program.
You're going to now, apparently.
No, that's it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I digress. But tomorrow night...
You can find a stick of incense for a 30-mile radius of Metro Atlanta.
Tomorrow night will be Kathy Bay's famous Halloween night program.
Well, again, a caveat to that, that's if I can reconstruct the music.
Yeah,
you'll do your reading of Telltale Heart.
Yeah, the Telltale Heart. I've had tens and tens of requests for the Telltale Heart, which we'll do tomorrow night, probably in the second hour. All right, let's enough chatter. Let's go to the phones. You want to go to the phones? Let's start with Will, who's calling from Michigan. Will, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, my name's Will. I'm a Mike-aholic. I just fell off the wagon.
Hi, Will.
It's great to hear your voice, man.
Yeah.
Missed you.
Yeah, well, it's always better to be drawing a paycheck than not drawing a paycheck. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Hey, I wanted to put the word out. I posted it on your forum, on your message board.
Right.
Got a... IRC channel set up on the internet network.
Yeah. Is that a good thing? Because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, IRC is Internet Relay Chat. It.
Okay. Kathy's looking at me kind of piteously because she's the engineer in the family. I'm just the guy that sits here and goes yadda yadda yadda. But okay, so you set up an IRC.
Yep, Internet Relay Chat IRC channel.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What am I supposed to do with it?
Well, it's just a place for your listeners to hang out and chat with each other. And
okay, well, do you have an address for that, or do you want?
It's on the Undernet IRC network. It's www.undernet.org.
Yeah.
And you can either download software to. Chat on IRC, or you can use the little applet they have on the website.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Will. That sounds like a good deal. Thanks, Will. Thanks for checking.
Yeah. Wanted to mention one other thing. There's I posted some pictures up on your forum there, and you might want to take a look at them.
Are they family friendly?
Oh yeah, they're pictures of a demonstration we did against the. Military Commissions Act here in Lansing.
Oh, super. That's at MikeMalloy.com, and then go to the...
Go to the message board.
Message board, okay. All right, I'll check them out. When we're off the air tonight and we're having a glass of wine before packing it in, I'll take a look at it, okay? Will? Okay, Will's gone. All right, Will, we'll do it. King David is calling from Wisconsin. Hey, David.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Huh?
Well, I can't escape you, can I? I mean, you will find me no matter where I wind up. My God, this guy has been following this program since WLS days, and that's like 10 years ago, 9 years ago. Oh my God! Well, and God bless you for doing it, David.
Well, it's just like the football coach used to keep yelling at me in high school.
Yeah.
You're going to run this play till you get it right.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
And I think you got it right this time. You know, you got Shelley Drobny looking over you.
Well, this is a good company, and I'll tell you, this is Nova M is brand new. We're all still kind of wet behind the ears in the sense, none of us are wet behind the ears where it concerns experience in this, whether it's on the engineering side there in Phoenix or the talent side, Peter B. Collins, Zogby, this program. But there's a difference here, and I think the difference with this network is it's going to be done right. Now, who knows? You know, this is radio, and as you know, King David, radio is one of the more delicate enterprises to get into, if I can put it that way. But I have a lot of good feelings about Nova M Radio Network. I think they're going to do great. They're signing up affiliates even as we speak. Well, not now. It's late. But, you know, it's. I think it's going to work out just fine.
Yeah, and I did notice that on the Phoenix station, you're right in between Peter B. Collins and Tom Hartman.
Yeah, that's a good place to be.
Which means that it's pretty much the old lineup of Sirius Left.
That's very true.
The band is back together again.
That's very true. Somehow, some way, it all gets patched in. You know what really freaks me out is sitting here in the bunker in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains doing the program tonight, hearing promos for Air America and hearing Air America's news in my headphones. I don't know what you guys are hearing out there, but I'm hearing this feed of Air America, what's his name, Bill Crowley in New York doing the news. I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's really bizarre. But,
yeah. And by the way, you are onto something because Lon Chaney, the actor Lon Chaney,
right,
actually was the first actor to play a vampire in a Hollywood movie.
He in Nosferatu?
No, that was a German movie.
Oh, okay.
He in 1929, I think it was, appeared in a movie called London After Midnight.
Oh my God!
A couple of years before Lugosi did Dracula.
Mm-hmm. What is the relationship, I wonder, between Dick Cheney and Lynn Cheney and Lon Chaney?
Well, Lon is not related to Lynn or Dick because Lon's last name was Chaney.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
You would know. You would know. You know these things.
Sadly, we have no prizes tonight to give out for best movie trivia. I do apologize. We will try to get some of those in before.
Keep doing week. The show. That'll be enough of a prize.
That'll do it. King David, always good to hear from you, sir.
Likewise. You know, keep it on.
All right. Take care. Take care.
You too.
We'll talk again. Let me see what image you. How about Bruce is calling from California. Bruce, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Mike, it is so good to hear your voice again, man.
Thank you, sir.
We have missed you from out here. Air America, if you're listening, you guys are idiots for letting this man go. But anyway, we're glad to hear you back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I want to let you know and make a quick comment about the elections. I have a prediction. I predict that the Republicans are going to hold the Senate and the House by one vote.
Yeah.
It will be accomplished through the electronic machines manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I predict that they are going to be so desperate, because this is really life and death for the Bush administration. This is their legacy. This is everything. This is a lot more than an election. I mean, if there's an investigation
while
Bush is in office and he's disgraced while he's in office the way Clinton was, then his legacy is oh, I almost said it.
Yeah, you almost said it.
I almost said it. I'm sorry. It's down in the toilet.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point, and which I think is all the more reason for people to do absentee ballot or to do early voting. We have voting started today here in Georgia, and Kathy and I are heading to the county courthouse tomorrow to cast our ballots, because you don't use the voting machines when you do the early voting. You use actual ballots, punch cards, and you hand them to somebody, and you're given a receipt. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, that's
but you're
hoping,
you're Your point is right on. I think you're absolutely right.
But the one thing that I didn't get to add in is that I really think that what's going to happen is that because of the desperation of the Republican Party right now, with where they literally have to hold this, and I think that they're going to make a lot of mistakes because they're going to have to cheat on a lot of races that they would have lost, and I think they're going to make a lot of mistakes, and I think that the fraud in the electronic voting machines is going to become so obvious that it can't be denied.
Well, and if that's the case, then I think this country is in for a rough ride because I said on the air the other day when I was subbing for Jerry Springer.
Right.
Three.
I listened.
Yeah. Three electoral thefts is probably enough. And if it happens again, I think there's going to be trouble here in River City. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, Andrew.
Yeah, Bruce. I'll talk to you, man.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Take care. I mean, Bruce. What did I call him, Andrew? I'm sorry, Bruce. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Plan is working. We're going to make elections.
Oh, my God. 10 before the hour, I was just checking the Democratic Underground thread on this program. They've started a second thread here, and a poster named Gumby writes, in response to my saying we're going to take some calls, Gumby writes, calls? Give us pickles.
In good time. Pickles isn't here now, Mrs. Torrance. No pickles here. Red rum. Red rum!
Yeah, well, pickles will be back for sure. All right, back to phone calls. Andrew is calling from Las Vegas. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Hello from the City of Lights, and where the governor here, wannabe governor, has some obviously serious sexual pent-up issues he's dealing with.
Yeah, what is this thing? He tried to molest or attack or rape or fondle a woman in a parking deck?
Well, and of course, there's obviously lots of security cameras and elevator cameras, and mysteriously, none of them were working that night.
Oh, my goodness, really?
It's a very sick system out here. The good old boy network is alive and well out here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
That's very sick.
You know, there was, who is this, Gibbons? This is Congressman Jim Gibbons.
Yeah, right-wing wacko Gibbons.
Yeah, and tried to sexually assault a cocktail waitress.
Yeah, she called 9/11, I guess, three different times, trying to, you know, a third time, I guess, was from being locked into a Starbucks bathroom, trying to get away from this person. And, his excuses. Oh, he was just trying to help her to her car, even though they were both extremely drunk. So that's nice.
The bit I read said that he claimed he was only trying to help her stand up because she'd fallen down. And the only reason I give a tinker's damn about these stories, frankly, is because it just never stops with these people. It just goes on and on and on. I don't care if it's heterosex, homosex. I don't care what it is. They are predators, these Republicans. Every single one of them is a predator. Given the right moment, that is when they get drunk or they lose their Bible or you know, they've just finished screaming, Jesus loves Republicans, they will grab your son, your daughter, your mom, your grandmother, no matter who it is, and try to do them. They're sick. They're sick.
They're sick and hypocritical at the same time.
Yeah.
If I can, Mike, I just want to take a quick second to say, you're a very modest and humble person. You really generally are, and you beat that guy with a half brain tied behind his back, you know, hands down on anything. But I just want to, you know, take issue with you about something.
Sure.
You know, during the 90s, I grew up in this right-wing wacko state called Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, and because I like conversation radio, I was forced to listen to Limbaugh, Liddy, all of them bash the heck out of my president.
Right.
Even though I, you know, have issues with a lot of things that he did, to cater to these thugs,
right.
You know, they bash him day in and day out. And the top of it that just made me totally sick was during the 2000 campaign, when he went on their campaign stage, Bush, and they started out with the Clinton, you know, don't stop, think about tomorrow song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you heard the record scratched and the Who song came out. No, we're not going to be fooled again. I did this if I lost my lunch.
Yeah, I know. You know, and you know, I've got issues with the Clinton administration too. But I tell you what, during 8 years, this is a very jingoistic thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. During 8 years of the Clinton administration, even though he got us involved in a shooting war in Europe, the first time since the end of World War II, not a single American service member came back to this country in a coffin. Not one in 8 years. And that is even giving Clinton the fact that he's responsible for the death of an awful lot of Serbs who did nothing except be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't even want to get into that discussion. But Clinton also presided over the longest economic growth period in this country since, I don't know, going back to the 50s maybe? I have no idea. And the other day when this Lynn Cheney was on Blitzer's program, she was trying to point out to Blitzer that her husband's administration had, her words, inherited a recession. I hate these lying bastards. I just hate them so much. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate them? It's just beyond belief.
They're all evil.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to end by saying, Mike, what I wanted to say is, you know, I found Air America by accident on my XM radio.
Uh-huh.
And so I started listening to XM, Air America, you know, I discovered, obviously, you, Randy, Sam,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody on there is great, awesome. I quit listening to the news media. I totally put an end to all of it because it's all obviously one way.
It'll rot your brain, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one of the last messages that I left on their little stupid 800 number, please leave your comments for the Mike Malloy Show, was I think you guys just kicked yourself in the nuts for getting rid of this person.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm not going to, give you all these platitudes, and say, you're number one and all this and all that. But you know what? You're a major part of that network, and it just makes me sad.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, it's a long story there, Andrew, and I'll write about it sometime. Listen, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. I hope to hear from you again. You take care. I still have friends at Air America, and people who I really like, Randy Rhodes and Sam Cedar and Rachel Maddow and... Tom Hartman is not Air America. He's syndicated by Air America. And you know, I like these people. And I hope everything works out for them. I really do. I hope that Randy and Sam and Rachel land somewhere because, as far as Air America as a company, you know, they're in bankruptcy. Maybe they'll get out of it. Delta is in bankruptcy. So, you know, you never know. But there's a long story there. I'm not going to bother you with it now. All right, we have a break here, major break. This is the long one. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Stick around, okay? Final hour of the Malloy program. Come on, get it right. Final hour of the Malloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Coming up. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. I guess we'll get to this tomorrow with any kind of depth. But the story's out now that thousands of weapons that the Defense Department has provided Iraqi security forces can't be accounted for. And the spare parts and the repair manuals are unavailable. The report was prepared at the request of the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. That would be John Warner, the Republican of Virginia. The report says that nearly one of every 25 weapons the military bought for Iraqi security forces is missing. Others can't be repaired because parts or technical manuals are lacking. The report says significant challenges remain that put at risk the U.S. military's goal of strengthening Iraq security forces. The Pentagon cannot account for 14,030 weapons, almost 4% of the semi-automatic pistols, assault rifles, machine guns, rocket-propelled grenade launchers, and other weapons it began supplying to Iraq since the end of 2003. And get this, the missing weapons will not be tracked easily because the Defense Department registered the serial numbers of only about 10,000 of the 370,000 weapons it provided, less than 3%. And missing from the Defense Department's inventory books were 13,000 semi-automatic pistols, 751 assault rifles, 99 machine guns. You know where these are going to turn up. They're going to turn up in the hands of right-wing skinheads in this country when they finally get out of the military. They're only in the military not because they feel patriotic, but because it gives them license to go kill brown-skinned people. This is astonishing. Is there not anything that these criminals can do properly? Anything? And the answer is, hell no, nothing. And once again, I invite, if that's the right word, any right-winger, any place in the United States is listening to this program, and you know you're out there, you little snakes, to call in and defend anything that the Bush crime family has perpetrated against America and against you, Mr. or Ms. Right-winger. Against you, too. What, do you think you're immune from this stuff? Huh? That's topics for different programs. Let's go back to your phone calls, as promised. Nancy is calling from Phoenix. Nancy, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, hi. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Great. Loose weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Loose nukes. Yeah. Oh, by the way, thousands of us missed you so much, and it is Air America's loss and Nova M's gain, and we miss Pickles and Chuckle Nuts too.
Well, Pickles will be back. There's
no
question.
I hope so.
Yeah, she's
in Uzbekistan.
Pickles is not here tonight, Mrs. Torrance.
Now Kathy can understand this. I've taken my broom out of the closet, and I wanted to know, it's a chick thing, what to wear tomorrow night. And I wanted to do something, a personification of evil incarnate. And I'm thinking, why not Lynn Cheney?
A Lynn Cheney mask would be
so
appropriate.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mommy Dearest.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Can't we talk about my children's book after she defends her husband's relishing of torture?
Torture. Yeah, it's astonishing.
Oh, my God.
Just
but you know what? I think she's an apprentice of Barbara Bush. Remember their daughter died, and I think, did they not play golf the next day?
I think they did.
No funeral? Yeah, and George was here in El Mirage, Arizona, while people were drowning in New Orleans.
Yeah.
August 29th.
Playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. He did that in San Diego. This was before. He was golfing here.
Oh, my God.
And the SUV that followed the limo had the guns pointed at the protesters holding the little cardboard signs. I was one of them, 110 degrees. And a little guy next to me said, look, Mommy, there's guns. So this is what we have now. See, you feel safer? Huh?
What did we do? We must have done something.
Something. Karma.
Is this payback for bad stuff?
Apathy.
Is payback for apathy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well. And being lulled by a media that has been lapdogs for this administration. And they're beginning to wake up.
Well,
a smidgen.
I hope, and I think you're right. I think it is just a smidgen. You know, Wolf Blitzer should have grabbed Lynn Cheney by the back of her neck and her
slapped her upside the head.
Well, no, he should have just grabbed her by the back of her neck and grabbed a handful of her Depends through her skirt and just ran her right out of the studio. Say, get out of the Situation Room. You know, that would have been great to see. But of course,
it's
at that
wonderful visual.
Yeah, but at that moment, you know, Wolf Blitzer would have been drilled by about 10 Secret Service agents.
Dead as a doornail. He would have been rendered.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's
habeas
for sure.
Corpus? Ha! Since you've been gone, so much has happened.
Yeah, I have the corpse. Nancy, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. You take care. We'll talk again.
Too.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say Blitzer wanted to keep all of his internal organs and didn't want to see them end up in the bionic Veep, so he had to watch his P's and Q's. It's also no wonder that Lynn Cheney, you know, allows her husband to discuss torture. I think it's the only way that Dick Cheney can...
Now, Kathy, be careful. You know, the pig man uses Viagra, Dick Cheney uses torture. Same result. Same result. I can imagine, you know, when Dick and Lynn have sex, if such a thing still happens, he probably says to her, will you put the hood on and those wires, hold on to the wires and stand up on that crate?
Either that or he says, now get in the bathtub full of ice cubes and lay very, very still. Come to bed. Don't move.
Don't move. Be very cold. I was on Dr. Mike's program this morning on KPHX, and somebody called in, I guess a little bit pissed off because I say such evil things on the program. And this guy said, you know, what about my elementary school child who hears you? And, you know, and I said to him, you know, you must be an irresponsible parent. You know, this program is not for children. It's not for children. It's PG-13. What does that mean? You got to be 13 years old or whatever? Is that what that means?
We haven't done a kids show in a while, have we? We need to revive the kids shows.
I've got 2 months of piss and vinegar to take care of first, Kathy, before I could ever sit and talk with children.
Oh, good, just in time for Christmas. 2 months of the holiday season of Malloy pent up rage.
Yeah, well, whatever. It hasn't been pent up. You see all the firewood I chopped out here and back. To clear out a new place to park your minivan.
Yeah, I've also seen you screaming at everybody that didn't put on a turn signal before they turned in front of you, or who made an improper lane change. Or...
Back to your phone call. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the program.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much. I got a little bit of breaking news. I was going to talk about something a little bit different on this area, but while I was talking to Bob Kincaid on Head On Radio Network, I got a phone call. I had to hang up with him, and I was getting a report out of Jackson County, Mississippi, about some wrongdoing going on down there.
What is that now?
Okay, now here's the story. What is going on is that I have found out that there is a trailer court that has been there since at least the 70s. Early 70s and probably long before that, that has been sold to a corporation who is turning that area into a condominium development, and the people who have trailers in that area are being moved out of those trailers at their own cost. Nobody is none of the government agencies are trying to help them get out of the area. It's basically made up of Vietnamese descendants. These are people of low income. These people do not have the means by which to move these trailers. They have got to be out by January, so construction for the condominiums must start. Meanwhile, I found out that in these egg sites, which we've talked about, and I won't go into that just yet.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Sarge, let me put you on hold for a minute because we've got to do a break here. When I come back, we'll finish the conversation. I'll let people know who you are.
Okay, Mike, good deal.
Let's put Sarge on hold. We'll come back to him in just a second. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
Twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the fact remains that George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. Come down, George. George, come on, come down.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
Well, that's what happens, chuckle nuts, when you get out of it and get away from the Cheneys. All right, back to Sarge, who's called in from Mississippi. Now, for folks who don't know, I'm sure most people listen to the old Molloy program. Sarge is, has really worked his rear end off trying to work for people in Mississippi. Sarge is right in the area where they were wiped out. They took a worse hit than Mississippi took. They took a direct hit from Katrina. And Sarge has been writing about this. He made a trip down there with one of our other friends from New Orleans to check out this mess. And what he's been reporting on is how the state and federal government, especially the federal government, has just turned their back on South Mississippi, the Mississippi coast, and just left the people down there to rot. Now, where were we, Sarge?
Okay, let me rephrase something that I said. I want to make sure I get it corrected or verified. The people that are not, that I'm talking about are Hispanic as well as Vietnamese.
Right.
And the help that I'm talking about them not getting does not include some of the local, organizations that are indeed trying to help these people move. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that the local people there,
right,
that have the ability are trying to help these people. So I want to make sure.
But what you're talking about, I think what you've talked about many times, is the massive, the lack of the massive federal support that's needed. You know, you don't sustain the kind of damage that South Mississippi took and expect that volunteers are going to be able to handle any more than you do in New Orleans. Expect that Habitat for Humanity is going to come in there, as wonderful as they are, and rebuild people's houses. It takes an effort by the federal government.
Yes, it does, and the money is slow coming down. In fact, there was a gentleman that Bob Kincaid interviewed on his show, it had on Radio Network, that Jim Yancey from Mississippi, I believe it was Friday, that he interviewed him, and it's a must listen to interview. You can probably get it through White Rose Society. And I'm also trying to get you set up so you can talk to this man. But he will tell you, he has all the facts, and he will tell you exactly how desperate the situation is. In fact, I learned over the weekend that a man was severely beaten and almost dead at an egg site. And the people are so scared, and from what I understand, now I'm not saying this is absolutely correct, but from what I understand, the man had filed a complaint about a break-in in his trailer, and they have, FEMA has regulations where security, the people securing their property cannot be done without being in the guidelines of FEMA. So they have to go through this, all this red tape just to put a deadbolt on their trailer or to put an outside lock. And the people can get up under these trailers. They can break into these trap doors, go up in their trailers, rob their trailers while they're gone. It's just, you know, this is a common occurrence down there.
Go ahead.
And these people, you know, are scared to death. They're scared to talk to other people because nobody knows from one person to the next who is going to be the one that's going to do to them what this man had done to him over the weekend. And I don't know the man's condition. I'm checking into it. But I also found out just last night that there is a set of trailers in Lumberton, Mississippi, which is in Pearl River County, a little further up, that has armed guards. These are FEMA trailers. They have armed guards, 24/7 armed guards, and they are not being used for anything.
Wow.
I just want people to know this story is not going away. It's getting worse. It's a police state down there. Ray and I found it just totally abhorrible. We found the people so scared while we were down there, and I'm getting calls on a daily basis of horror stories. And I'm so glad that you're back on now, because maybe with your voice, maybe we can get more attention paid to it. And, of course, with Bob and all of the rest. But I just want people to know, hey, there is a lot of suffering. Even as far up as I am, I'm 85 miles from Gulfport. And as far up as I am, I'm even feeling some of the residual effects of it. So if nothing else alone, Mike, these people, the Bush administration, the Bush crime family, should be removed strictly on Katrina-related issues alone. Mike, I'm going to let you go. Right.
Thank you, Sarge. I appreciate you checking in. You take
Thank
care.
Thank you, buddy. All Bye-bye.
Right. That is, you know, what he's talking about and what the aftermath of Katrina, it's just astonishing to me, astonishing that we have such a corrupt, filthy administration in this country, that the situation for American citizens discontinues, to, like living in an outhouse, a sewer, a toilet. I wonder how much attention Lynn Cheney pays to that.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Oh, God. It's about 26 before the hour. Boy, time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Let's go back to the phone call. Sanchez is calling from California. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
First of all, I'm so glad that you are back on the air. Thank you to Nova M and to everybody involved for bringing you back on the air, because now I can finally stop slamming my head against the wall. Oh, you don't know how frustrating it's been the past couple of months, man.
Yeah, well, I do know. I do know.
Earlier you were talking about North Korea, and a couple of comments that I wanted to give you some background information. I've been a big fan. I've been to Japan a couple of times, and I'm a big fan of Japanese TV. Here in the Los Angeles area, well, we have a broadcast channel, which is Channel 18. They show international programs from all over the world, and they include a lot of Japanese TV, and they run English subtitles down below. And one of the reasons why I like watching it, their network news on Fuji TV is called Super News. And the reason that I like watching it is because they show you a lot of feeds, a lot of North Korean television programs.
Wow.
And they're always showing that very same woman, the one that gives the news like this. She's got like a stick up her spine or something. But that's the way she usually delivers the news.
Right.
There's a male and a female newscaster there. But the thing about it, about North Korea, just to give you, I know you know all this background information, but in case the listeners don't know, is about the weapons-grade plutonium. Between, like, the Reagan and Bush daddy administrations, they had enough weapons-grade plutonium for just 1 to 2 bombs.
Right.
When Clinton came into office, that was a level that was maintained throughout his administration, thanks to direct diplomacy and UN monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Chakwamats got into office, boom, in the 6 years that he's been in office, that weapons-grade plutonium level has gone up by 400%. And yet, like Ann Coulter and all the other neocon idiots are blaming Clinton for this. And quite frankly, Matt, I'm sick and tired of this.
Well,
oh, my God.
So am I, Sanchez. But I just wonder if the American public, those among us who are still willing to go out and vote, understands that everything, every single thing that the Bush administration says or any of their whores in the media, every single thing is a lie. Every single thing is a lie. I got an email tonight. I lost it here in the stack. But somebody wrote to me that the reason the Bush crime family so badly wants Kim Il-Crazy to have nuclear weapons is so that in this country, these huge, monstrous, murderous defense contractors can then get started throwing more billions of taxpayer dollars down this missile defense hole. And it's just awful. I just wonder how much more the American public is going to stand if we don't throw these sons of bitches out of office for once and for all on November 7th. Then we might as well kiss it goodbye because it's gone. It'll be gone. It'll be absolutely gone.
Well, both you and I know that it could go either way, and that's going to be the worst Halloween nightmare is if it goes that way because, oh, everything's over, man. I mean, they're going to indiscriminately because the missile technology they have right now, they're not even sure if it works. You know, and how many billions of dollars did we waste on that anti-nuclear missile technology?
Sure.
And the scary thing about this is if they successfully detonated, they were claiming, oh, it's just a small bomb. Well, the thing about it is it's a smaller weapon so that they can put it more easily on the tip of a missile, and they could sneak it in. They might have even been able to sneak it into our southern or northern borders at this point because it's a smaller grade bomb.
I get what you're saying, Sanchez. The Bush crime family, as a collection of thugs and killers, has put this country at greater risk than I think any executive or a collection of executive thugs in the history of this republic.
Correct.
And I there's got to be a day of reckoning. There has to be a day of accounting.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got to go. Thanks, Sanchez.
Okay.
All right, man. I appreciate you
checking
in. You take care. We'll talk again. Chris is calling from Eugene, Oregon. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hot toads. You're back. I just can't believe it. I'm just beside myself.
Yeah, well.
You give it right to him, baby.
Yeah, well, we
give it right
to
him. Hey, the previous callers have been amazing. You know that, which is proof of your show being quality show that you attract so many good folks.
I agree with that. I agree with that. The people who support this program or listen to this program, no matter where we wind up, are for the most part articulate. They think things through. They're looking for a way to get rid of these killers legally and peacefully still, although I don't know how much longer that's going to hold.
Bush crime family.
Yeah, the
baby.
Bush crime family, get rid of them. They are patriots, the people who call and listen to this program. They love this country. That's why they're so upset about what has happened. And they want to see America, the United States, I should say, be what it could be if we had decent leadership, not these rotten rat bastards who are now in charge.
Well, what's the biggest problem that bugs me just about that is what about folks who don't vote in their best interests? What is with that?
I've never been able to understand that. I've tried to understand it from the standpoint of willful ignorance. I've tried to understand it from a standpoint of most of those people are white, conservative males in this country who are terrified of their own shadows. They like to talk big, but they're a bunch of pissant cowards. I don't know what it is that people will specifically and deliberately vote for Republicans who will then turn around and cut their throats. Just cut their throats. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Damaging.
It is.
Just damaging. Anyway, thanks, Mike, and welcome home.
All right, thanks.
We love you, baby. We love you.
All right, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. You know, that's one of the issues was it Robert Frank who wrote What's the Matter with Kansas? Was that his name, Kathy? You remember Robert Frank? Maybe it wasn't Robert. There's a Robert Frank who's a filmmaker, but anyway, his last name's Frank. When he wrote the book, he was trying to explain why and using the voters in and around metropolitan, big metropolitan areas in Kansas, which would be Kansas City, Kansas, and Independence, some of the cities in Kansas, with the exception of where the University of Kansas is. Why these people continually vote against their own best interests. And the Bush crime family, Republicans just slam them over and over and over again. I wonder if religious conservatives really got it, what the former head of the religious outreach, you know, this new book that's out, written by the number two man in the Bush crime family, where it concerned taking advantage of, just beating these religious leaders with a whip over and over again. Just, you know, Karl Rove and Cheney and Bush and the rest of these people, Andy Card, would meet with these cretins, these Jesus killers. They would meet with them and promise them, yeah, go whip your faithful into voting for us. We know it's illegal, separation of church and state, but we don't care. We'll protect you. Go do it. And they would go do it. And what have the religious conservatives gotten for it? Other than 101 dead Americans this month, slaughter to a degree unprecedented since what? Vietnam? Of Iraqi civilians. What have the Christian conservatives gotten? State after state is saying it's insane, ludicrous, and unconstitutional to deny people the right to have civil unions. Marriage sanctified by a church or a temple or a synagogue or a mosque, if you want to do that, go do it. Go do it. But marriage is a civil affair. It always has been. It always will, in modern history. It always will be. It's a civil affair. If a man and a woman, or a man and a man, or a woman and a woman want to have a civil union with all the protections and advantages that are given, that, what the hell does some Christian conservative care? What difference does it? Oh, it's going to destroy marriage. The hell it is. You're going to destroy marriage with your cheating on your spouse and your lies and your deceptions and your divorces and beating your beating your wife, beating your children. You ugly old bastard, you. Who am I talking about? I don't know. These people just get me so upset. How did I get off on that rant? Oh, that's right. The Republicans. And it's not just the Bush crime family. It's every Republican. Every single Republican who holds office. Who promises people who vote Republican. Well, you'll get this. You'll get that. What have you folks gotten? What have you gotten? Honest to God, what have you gotten? If you're middle class, working class, what have you gotten in return for your vote? Nothing except a kick in your ass and a slap across your face. That's what you've gotten. Nothing. Nothing. State after state are going to let the queers get married. What are you going to do about that, huh? Abortion is not illegal in this country. It just goes on and on. Don't you people have any other issues? Oh, my God. Here's that little kid again. Oh. All right. We'll take a break and come back. Oh, my God. This is Novem Radio. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm very small, you see, but I can love my Jesus, and he can still love me. And partner, all I want to do is satisfy my Lord. And
thanks, Reggie. The author of that book is Thomas Frank.
All the whole wide world, I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
All right. Thanks to our crew in Phoenix. The program tonight was engineered by Steve Blodgett and Billy Foster. Thanks, guys. Kim Macias answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. And Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives this program. The executive producer is Catherine Bay. Well, we got through the first one, Kathy. How many we got left?
Probably one or two.
Yeah, I would think. It's about 9 before the hour. Back to your calls. Gilbert is calling from Phoenix. Gilbert, welcome to the program. Where's Gilbert? All right, here comes Gilbert. There's Gilbert. Thank you.
Here I am.
There you are.
Hello, Mike, Kathy,
hey,
Molly.
How you doing?
America. Well, I would call in and wish you welcome back. I'll tell you, haven't missed a beat. It was classic. I was sitting in a restaurant having dinner and let out a big yell, laugh there, and with the headsets on, and surprised a couple of people sitting beside me. But I was lucky to catch your interview this morning here, and I was highly anticipating your show coming back.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Gilbert. I really do.
Well, you know, to add on to your segment that you had, your commentary of the last segment, the politician from Pennsylvania was the one that had admitted in the ad that he had an affair. And then the worst president in United States history, that shows you how desperate these neon cons are that he had to show up and come in and make an appearance to try to get him reelected. So I just wanted to wish America to wake up. This is a critical election. I think even Republicans and independents are wise to know that there needs to be a offset here in the Congress, oversight. So anyway, it's going to be a critical day, and I hope that we can finally take America back. So welcome back, Mike, and Godspeed.
All right, thanks, Gilbert. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You take care. Jane is calling from Portland, Oregon. Jane, welcome to the program.
Mike, I have to pinch myself because I can't believe that I'm talking to you.
I can't believe it either. You're breaking up terribly. Try it again. Start over again.
I said I have to pinch myself because I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Well, go ahead. We'll watch.
I also want you to know that I am quitting chain smoking at night, not biting my nails, and I feel my libido returning.
Your libido is returning?
Yes.
Is this Lynn Cheney?
No, because you're back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear it, Jane.
Your voice has that effect. Anyway, what I called about and was answered was the fact that I was missing Sarge. I have been a Sarge groupie since I started listening to you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see him anymore on Powers and Morrison.
Well, he has a different website, and I don't have it on the at hand here, but I'm sure he's listening. He will email it to me, and I'll mention it tomorrow, right?
I would sincerely appreciate that because I'm very concerned about what's going on with the victims of Katrina and the victims of this government.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right, Jane, we'll talk again. Thanks for checking in tonight, all right? Jane, okay, take care. Kathy pots those calls down real quick, don't you? Have we got any time left? Yeah, we got time. All right, we got time. Ron is calling from Wellsboro. What state, Ron?
That's in PA.
PA. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear you again. I don't know if you got the email I sent, but you sounded like you had quite a few, which I'm sure you do. But
Hello? What happened? We lost him? Okay, Ron, you dropped off. All right. One thing I might suggest to everybody when you call, try to call on the landline. It works a little bit better. All right? Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Thanks. I'm from Bedford, Texas, one of the unfortunate teenage Texas Democrats here.
Uh-oh.
And it's getting really sad for me because I'm seeing so many of these media Republicans acting younger than I am.
I hear you, yeah.
I'm seeing Sean Hannity, and I saw this thread on your forum about Sean Hannity practically begging Democrats not to go vote. And I am thinking, you know, how sad has it become for the Republicans? I mean, now, this isn't anything new, I know, and this is probably not going to be the last time they do it. It still makes my brain just flip over to see how sad it is when the Republicans say, Dems, don't bother voting.
Yo, I know.
And but, you know, I mean, I'm 17. I'm too young to vote, but, you know, if I could, I would in a heartbeat to get these, you know, these, you know, what's out of office. And and I have the great fortune of having a very liberal mother and, unfortunately, a moderate Republican father voted for Bush twice. So I have to
Has he realized the error of his ways yet? Does he know what he did, Matthew?
It's funny because every time Bush says something dumb, which is every time he opens that little mouth of his, my dad does something along the lines of rolled his eyes or, you know, says he disagrees with it. And my mom does the funniest thing. She doesn't scream at him. She doesn't shout at him. She just gives him that look and points at him. And that's enough for me because, I mean, basically, whenever Bush does something twice or whenever Bush does something bad, my mom just looks at him and says, you voted for him twice. And, I mean, I think that's just the greatest punishment anybody can do. Because,
yeah, your mother sounds like a very wise woman. Hey, thanks.
She is.
Thanks, Matthew.
Oh,
we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in, pal. We'll talk again. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. And as we've said before, even you Republican lurkers, maybe at some point you'll get the courage to call this program and be able to put together a coherent sentence, in which case I'll let you on the air. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. All right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio.